It's time for the Drive's Top 4 at 4.
Hour number 2 of the Drive underway. Time for the Top 4 at 4. Number 1, Tennessee Titans running back Derrick Henry signing his $10.2 million franchise tender today, according to ESPN. Titans and Henry still committed to working on a long-term deal before the July 15th deadline for franchised players to sign extensions. Titans GM John Robinson said his team still hopes to sign King Henry to a long-term contract. Tanner Carson, you're a fairly – are you a Titans fan, Tanner?
I am a fan of the the Las Vegas Raiders.
You don't even know who you're a fan of. You don't even know where your team is. Okay, so as a fairly neutral observer, what do you think? Titans should do they owe it to Derrick Henry? Do they just have to go all in and give him the huge monster deal, or can you just not justify giving a 26-year-old running back with that many carries under his belt that kind of money?
I would say for the way that he carried them that he deserves a lot of money, but then again, I mean, who also deserved a lot of money for carrying an offense not that long ago? That's Todd Gurley with the Rams. He gets all that money, and now you ever wonder if he's going to be really productive again? Man, we all know the shelf life for a running back is it's very scarce. It does not last that long, so you got to be real careful about investing big bucks. Even though Derrick Henry is a complete walking tank out there, I think they're right to be cautious right now.
Well said, well said. Number 2, Tua Tagovailoa underwent a voluntary medical recheck today that was facilitated by the NFL Combine, and the results of the comprehensive exam were, quote, overwhelmingly positive, according to the quarterback's representation. The recheck was performed by an independent doctor who was selected by NFL team physicians, and all 32 team doctors and trainers were allowed to give input on the type of exams they wanted done, and those results have been shared with all 32 teams. So in an interview yesterday with ESPN Sports Center, Tua said, quote, I'm 100% right now, ready to go. Bear, how confident are you if you're an NFL team that Tua will be 100% ready to go? And I guess the other thing you have to take into account if you're one of these teams considering drafting him is maybe the extra time off, if there is indeed extra time off, helps Tua in his recovery. Bear, you need to unmute your phone at this point.
Yeah, Russ.
Thank you.
No problem. I think the best situation for him would be to go somewhere where he could sit on the bench for a year. But, you know, I mean, with the coronavirus, he may get that opportunity anyhow. But, yeah, I wouldn't be comfortable throwing him out there week one into the NFL on, you know, less than a year after the injury he had.
Yeah, I agree. It's going to be interesting. The NFL draft coming up later this month. They say they're going to have it, and Tua will know where he's headed. I think somebody will take him, obviously, in the first round. Number 3, the winners for the Naismith Men's and Women's College Basketball Coach of the Year have been announced. Bear, any guesses on who won the Naismith Award this year at College Hoops for the men and women's side?
I'm not even going to attempt the women. The men, no clue.
Anthony Grant of Dayton and Dawn Staley of South Carolina, your Naismith Coaches of the Year in college basketball. How does that strike you?
It doesn't excite me as much about the Prep Extra Coach of the Year in Knoxville.
Did they announce that today?
Yes.
Our guy over at Maryville win that?
No. Longtime friend of the show, Coach Mike Hutchins of Knoxville Catholic.
Oh, Hutch. Way to go. Good for you, brother. Everything's coming up roses for Mike Hutchins and Catholic Fighting Irish.
They got their tournament win in just in the nick of time.
Well done. Yeah, no doubt. Well done by them. And finally, number four bear, sad news from the world of college football, LSU head coach Ed Orgeron and his wife of 23 years, Kelly, are divorcing. What strange timing, you know? I have no idea what their relationship is like, obviously, but, you know, Ed Orgeron on top of the college football universe. You've got the coronavirus scare going on. They actually filed before all this went down, I guess, back in late February. But Orgeron and his wife separated, now going to divorce.
That's unfortunate.
It is, Bear.
She just got tired of the nuttiness.
Yeah, you know, you always hate to see that. How much do you think it pays to be Mrs., to be the ex-Mrs. Coach O?
I imagine it's going to be fairly lucrative, I would imagine. So, yeah, well, she'll be fine, man. Have you seen her?
Yeah, for Orgeron's 58, and if she is this, I don't know how old she is, but she's an attractive lady.
Yeah.
How would you like to be the guy who next dates ex Mrs. Coach O?
I don't know. I mean, that would present its problems for sure, I would imagine. You know? especially if he really didn't want to get – could you imagine, like let's say Coach O didn't really want to get divorced. Yeah. You want that guy looking at you?
I mean, imagine the scene. Imagine the scene, Bear, and you're at the Bears' den. You're wooing ex-Mrs. Coach O, and you've brought her back to the Bears' den. You know, you took her out. Threw a couple burgers down her throat, and now you want to take her back and show her a good time, right?
Sure.
You've got the music playing. You've dimmed the lights. You know, maybe pour a glass of nice chilled Chardonnay, and you're sitting on the couch, and you're about to go with your move, man. You're about to try and David Copperfield, if you know what I mean, and. All of a sudden, you hear a pounding on the door of the bear's den. Oh, my God. What could that be? What terrible timing. And from outside, you hear the unintelligible rumblings. What do you do at that point? Do you open the door and try to reason with an enraged and jealous Coach O? Or do you just – is there like a window in the back of the bear's den that you could sneak out and fade off gently into the quiet night?
No. Until he's on private property and rack that 12-gauge.
So you would meet Coach O with deadly force and threaten, across this line. You do not cross!
Yeah, I ain't fighting him hand to hand. See if we find out if he's bulletproof. Coach O, he's a maniac.
Wow.
Would you?
No, I wouldn't step to Coach O. I wouldn't step to Coach O. No.
No.
Tanner,
what
do you think?
What
if you're in that situation and you're a lover, not a fighter? I don't think you don't strike me as a firearms kind of guy, Tanner. I mean, are you going to try?
You would be mistaken.
Okay.
I have plenty.
So if you're going after ex-Mrs. Coach O, you know, she's Mrs. Robinson for a young man like you, Tanner. That's a reference to The Graduate, Simon and Garfunkel.
I know.
Look
I'm,
it up.
I'm a man of culture.
Okay. Plastics. What are you doing? So you're whipping out your piece. And saying, Coach O, I know you're a bigger man. I know you're angry, but you need to step off. Mr. Smith and Wesson right here is here to discourage you.
Yeah, pretty much. If he's coming on my property, I mean, that's the thought I had when you were asking Bear if he was going to run away from his own house.
Yeah, no. The answer to that is no.
I'll say, Coach. I mean, yeah. you got to get off private property. If he keeps coming forward, then, I mean, he has to be met with what he has to be met with, you know, and take that for trying to tell Tennessee players to not go to class in 2010.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'd ask him, you know, the old Eddie Murphy line, you want to limp?
Hey, Coach, I know you're really angry about the fact that I'm trying to lay down with your wife, but you should have thought about that before you told Corey Miller not to go to class. Payback's a bitch.
Is that who it was? I'd forgotten about that.
Who was it? Who were the true friends? It was like Tyler Bray, Derek Rogers, Corey Miller.
No, it wasn't Derek. Derek was a Dooley recruit. He got him real late on the bargain bin because everybody else in America and the South knew that, although insanely talented, he was insane. So,
I mean, you guys know that's how O.J. Simpson committed his terrible deed, right? I mean, Chris Rock had a great routine about that. He's like, listen, I'm not saying excusing what O.J. did, but I understand. You're gonna go in my house. You're gonna live in my house, drive my car with my money. Some other dude driving my car, my money, my house with my ex-wife. I'm not signing off on it. I'm not saying he did right. I'm just saying. I understand.
Okay. Well, you know where I stand on OJ.
It's all fun and game driving around in Coach O's Hummer until Coach O shows up with a debt to collect, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I do.
You pull into the fan run to the parking lot of the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios in Coach O's Hummer. I mean, yeah, we're all having a laugh until the man shows up with something to say. DJ Jazzy Jeff has the coronavirus, Bear.
He's recovered.
He has?
Yeah, I saw an article where he'd recovered. He was one of the people that was, you know.
Well, great news.
He was. Oh, that's awesome news. People ought to pay attention to what he said. He kind of did a PSA about it. Apparently DJ Jazzy Jeff wasn't taking it as seriously as he probably should have before he got it. And then after he had recovered, he was strongly urging people and telling them, look, you do not want to get this. This is like, he said it was like nothing, no sickness he'd ever had.
You know, so. It's a sign of the times. The guy who spun the tunes for Parents Just Don't Understand is now the parent trying to tell the kids who just don't understand.
Exactly.
How old is Yeah.
Do what? Go ahead. Sorry.
Go ahead. No, you're go ahead.
Well, now I can't remember what I was going to say. It's gone.
I was just going to ask how old DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince were.
I'd say very early 50s. I think Will Smith's got to be like 51 or 52. Will Smith's my age.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say Jeff's probably right around there, too. A couple years older, a couple years younger.
Yeah. Ellis Marsalis of the legendary Marsalis.
He's the patriarch of the Marsalis clan.
Yeah, jazz, iconic jazz family of New Orleans passing away. He was much older, I believe, in his 80s.
85.
Adam Schlesinger.
Yeah, that was a pretty hard one for me last night.
Fountains of Wayne, which last night I told my wife, the guy from Fountains of Wayne died, and she goes, I don't know who that is. And I said, Stacy's mom has got it going on. And she was stunned.
Yeah, he wrote another song that was bigger than that. A lot of people don't realize that's who you're listening to is that guy. The That Thing You Do. For the movie.
Oh, really? He was the songwriter for that?
Yeah, for the song. The their
Was he in the movie? Was he in the movie?
No, I don't think he was, but he recorded it.
He just did the music.
Yeah, I guess the actors just lip synced it. So yeah, that was him.
I saw a thing today on Twitter, and you just finished watching The Sopranos, so maybe you know the answer to that. Fountains of Wayne was the name of a store, a like gardening store or hardware store or something that Tony Soprano went to in The Sopranos. Is that what they named the band after?
I'm not sure.
Do you remember that?
I know that. Yeah, because I just watched it. It's where you remember the actor that played Rock. Remember that bald-headed African-American actor? You know who I'm talking about? I cannot remember his name. What is that guy's name? He's a famous actor. But he played the cop or in season one or two that pulled him over, and he ended up working at the garden shop. But, yeah, I'm pretty sure those guys were from up that way. They're from New York, New Jersey. So. God, he was, what, 51 feet? He's like my age. Maybe you're older.
Yeah, very young, man. Very young.
And,
you know, I don't want to speculate too much. Rock and roll guys, you know, sometimes live a hard lifestyle. Who knows what his pre-existing conditions were. But, it's just another cautionary tale. It's like, listen, you do not have to be in an old folks home to die from this. That dude was still out rocking and rolling, man, doing rock shows and stuff. And, I mean, 52, that's a young man.
Yeah. He had done a lot of people. His career was, I didn't realize that he had done just an enormous amount of stuff in like music and television, scoring and songwriting, and just a fantastic band. If you aren't familiar with him, it's really good stuff. Power pop, kind of that New York punk kind of edge to it. So
865-546-8200, your numbers. We open the phone lines back up to you here on The Drive. 546-8200. We're going to take a quick break right here. We'll come right back with more of your phone calls. It is The Drive on Fan Run Radio. Back with more after this. Got to admit, Bear.
Yes, sir.
I don't mean to be rude after the guys unfortunately passed away. I was not a huge fan of that song. Were you? Did you enjoy that power pop ballad, Stacy's Mom? That's right up your alley, isn't it?
Not as much as a lot of their other stuff. But no, I mean, it was a big hit.
It did spawn.
You do, maybe one of the best power pop songs ever written, though.
Oh, it did spawn, in my opinion, the greatest parody in the history of The Drive, Steven's dad.
I thought about that, yeah.
Everybody that year loved Welcome to the Con Zone, which I guess had its place. That was good. I thought Steven's dad was absolutely hysterical.
I always preferred... Welcome to the Con Zone. Thought it was just a little bit better to me.
Yeah, I don't know. I just thought, I don't know. The whole thing is Steven's dad was, the lyrics to the Con Zone were probably funnier. It hit harder, I guess, but, it's just, and I didn't do those, man. Like people, UT got mad at the time for us doing those, but I mean, that was, friend of the show, John in Asheville, who put that together, and we just played it. I guess we were the
Steven's dad, or
both of them,
or the Con Zone.
Yeah, it's a long story. I don't want to get into it. Another day, we're having Barnes, and we're on good terms with the university right now. So, but yeah, that was Tanner. Is that true? What you're saying was that legitimately the song was a tribute to the Cars?
Oh yeah, entire thing. And there's Cars references in the music video as well.
Like what?
I have to go back and look. I know, like, on one of the car's license plates, there was, like, a I Heart Rick or something for Rick. How do you say his last name? Who passed away?
Okasic.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, hold
Who
thing,
else can you tell me who was in the video? Can either one of you?
Yeah, Rachel Hunter.
Mm. Great.
5 stars, man. 5 stars, no doubt. Did you ever have a crush on one of your friend's moms growing up, Bear?
No.
865-546-8200. Your number to get on the show this afternoon. Did you see where Mike Leach had to issue an apology on Twitter? Mike Leach getting in a little bit of a hot water situation.
Well, that's just absolutely surprising to me. Flabbergasted.
Evidently, I just saw this on Twitter. He tweeted out maybe an hour or so ago, just one of those, "I'm sorry if the picture I tweeted earlier offended anybody." And then I went through and I couldn't find it, so I guess he had taken it down. And somebody sent me Bill Minot sent me a link. Evidently, what he tweeted was a picture of an old woman knitting or making a noose, I guess, in quarantine. Like, some people were knitting scarves, and she was going to kill her husband or whatever. Ha ha ha.
Wow. That kind of seems like a bad thing to do right now, given the current situation. Here,
it's an old black and white photo of a woman knitting, and she's got a noose across her lap. It says, "After 2 weeks of quarantine with her husband, Gertrude decided to knit him a scarf." She's knitting a noose.
Well, I mean, probably in poor taste, but he's got to be smarter than that.
Yeah, I mean, he's not making a joke about it's a marriage joke. It's not he's not making light of the coronavirus, in my opinion. But people are stupid, and people are going to get upset. And here's the thing, Baron, and I'm trying to be careful. I'm probably not as much as I should, but I think anybody in entertainment, whether you're radio, TV, whatever, you have to be careful because the thing I missed most about doing the show with you guys in studio is cutting up and all the off color, just completely awful things we say to each other during the breaks.
Sure.
But you got to be careful with this thing, man, because, I mean, we've all seen the numbers, the projections coming out about how many people are getting set to die in this country in the next couple of weeks. And what might seem kind of funny or whatever now, might not seem, I mean, it might be like joking about 9/11 here in a couple of weeks, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you just got to be careful. Let's bring in Trey Wallace. We welcome Trey to the festivities this afternoon. Trey, how are you, sir?
Hey guys. Good afternoon. It's good to be with you guys.
Good to be with you. What does Cody say? Good to be anywhere. We're with you.
Good to be here. Good to be anywhere.
No doubt about it. Trey, speaking of guys who might be in a little bit of hot water, what did you make of Adam Schefter's comments yesterday on ESPN as the lead NFL reporter for the Worldwide Leader ripped the NFL for proceeding with business as usual? They're going to hold the draft later this month. Adam Schefter ripping the NFL for proceeding with business as usual with, as he put it, quote, "carnage in the streets."
Do you think that came from, and we all know Adam Schefter's, you know, sources and people around the league. Do you think that actually came from Adam Schefter and how he feels? Or do you think he was actually sending a message from certain coaches and maybe people around the NFL?
You know what, Trey, that's a really interesting point. I thought about it from that perspective. I just assumed the surface level of it, that, you know, that was his opinion, but you might be right. He talks to so many coaches and GMs and front office and owners and, you know, all that type. You know, maybe some of those folks are expressing skepticism or fear, you know, that they're going to have to go to work and be around a bunch of other people. And, you know, maybe that's something he's getting. I don't know that, but that is an interesting thought.
I was kind of thinking about it, Russ and Bear and Tanner, and I saw the comments, and I was like, you know what? That's interesting that, you know, he doesn't hold back. Like, that's the thing. If you ever listen to some podcasts that he does, he doesn't hold back. But to just go right at the NFL like that, it just came across to me as, yes, it was personal, but also, you know, we've seen the stories where people aren't happy with how they're going to be, you know, four or five people in a war room, and you don't know how they're going to do the draft and how they're supposed to evaluate some of these players that are still, you know, they didn't go to the combine, and, you know, what's going on in the world. He might have been speaking for a lot more people besides him because they got a lot of runs.
Well, here's a thought to think about. You know, it's a beautiful day, and I think a lot of people who are fortunate enough to be home are just sort of, you know, enjoying their time while they can. And we miss sports, man, and we want sports. And it seems like on its surface, the NFL draft, like, now is a perfect time for it, right? Because they can do it. You don't have to have everybody in a ballroom, and we don't have to have the players in a green room coming up and shaking hands with the commissioner. Like, we can strip it down to its bare minimum. But you're right, Trey. These teams do have to have scouts and front office types together in some capacity somewhere. And think about putting on the production on the NFL Network and ESPN. There have to be lots of production people on site, people working back at headquarters in Bristol, everywhere. You know, that's getting – there will be people who have to go to make this production happen. And, yeah, I want to see it as badly as all of you do, too. But it's what, the 23rd through the 25th? That is projected to be right at the peak of what is about to happen in this country. And if we're talking over 100,000 people dying at that point, even having the draft – it's hard to picture it right now as we're sitting here today, but it might not be so hard to picture in 3 weeks. It might be completely the wrong tone.
Well, maybe, but also I want to see, I think we'll start to see in the next week or so it get leaked out of how they're planning on doing this thing. You know, we all think, you know, we know that, you know, it's just going to be them, and they're going to have different feeds, and they'll have interviews through Zoom or Skype or whatever you want to call it with players and personnel people and coaches. It's going to be very – this thing is going to be like a – this thing is going to be like an MLS draft, you know, where years ago MLS used to do all this stuff just on TV. Like, they weren't doing this stuff, like big buildings or anything like that. And MLS has kind of gone up a little bit. But I remember back to when MLS was holding the draft, and honestly, they were just going and showing different facilities around the country and talking to people. You know, I'm sure they're going to up it a little bit. Like, you know, there's not going to be fireworks in Las Vegas, and there's not going to be crazy things going on, you know, out there. But I do think that they'll try to put on some kind of show just because, Russ and Bear, think about how much money in ad revenue that this thing could bring in.
Like, what? 100 million people were watching last year when it was in Nashville. Bear, what do you think? If things get as bad as the experts say they're about to get here over the course of the next two to three weeks, do you think that having the draft in the midst of all that, right at the peak of all this that is evidently going to occur, do you think that strikes the wrong tone to have a big sports-related entertainment event at that time? Or do you think that is precisely the kind of distraction and entertainment event this country will need to have some sort of catharsis amidst all the just completely awful news that will be inundated with?
That's a tough one. Yeah. I'd probably say go ahead and do it, you know, but
if you can do it safely,
do it old school like they used to, which is minimal amount of, you know, the fanfare, which obviously it will be. So, I mean, there's got to be something for us to look forward to. And yeah, I don't have that big of a problem with it.
865-546-8200, your number if you want to get on the show with us. If you've got thoughts on that, the NFL draft set to occur here in a couple of weeks, right at the time that the experts are telling us our country's death toll is going to peak. Is that sending the wrong tone, the wrong message? Should we just scrap that and have it whenever we have it and just focus on saving lives right now? Or is that precisely the kind of distraction that our country will need at that time when everything looks like it's going to go so wrong? Here's the thing that's weird, and we probably shouldn't compare what's happening right now to 9/11, but I mean, you've all seen that, right? I mean, people are drawing those comparisons, and the numbers are going to be so much bigger. But, and I don't know what's worse. You know, 9/11, obviously, it blindsided all of us. Nobody had any idea that that was going to occur. The thing that's so weird about this, guys, is that we know it's going to happen. We know roughly what the scale of the death toll is going to be, and there's not much we can do to stop it. It's just going to happen. And
well, yeah, but Russell, they did. There were people that knew 9/11. In fact, the title of the National Security Briefing on August 11th, 2001, the title of it was Al-Qaeda Determined to Strike Soft U.S. Targets Using Commercial Airliners.
Okay. I understand that, Bear. And I'm not arguing with you, but we didn't know that. A small group of intelligence people knew that or should have known that. The entire country, I was stunned. You were stunned. Trey was stunned. Everybody listening to this, 100% of our audience was absolutely stunned when it happened as the defining news event of our lifetimes. Nobody was prepared for it, right? On the grand scale, 99.9% of humanity did not know that was going to happen. 99.9% of humanity knows what's about to happen at this, and we are almost completely powerless to stop it. All we can do is blunt it a little bit by staying home, and it's still going to happen.
Yeah, but it also feels like, and I know we're up against it too here in a second. It also feels like a lot of these states are trying to do, you know, just enough to say, okay, we're agreeing with everything. You know, we're going to abide by the rules, like Tennessee today. This damn stay-at-home in order, like the order, not the suggestion to stay at home. I feel like that should have been done, you know, 2 weeks ago. But here we sit because they say, oh, well, we checked traffic reports and cell phone data that showed people are still out. Like, you got to have more common sense. And like the governor of Georgia yesterday made him look like the biggest dumbass in this whole thing when he said, I didn't know it could transmit from person to person. Like, you got to be kidding me. It's like, you know, some of these people, you think they're bright and smart, but they turn out to be just dullards, and they're not helping.
Let's go to the phones here. Phil is next. Good afternoon, Phil. You're on the drive. Fan Run Radio.
My right, I'm here.
What's up, Philly?
You and Baron Trey figured it out on the Sea of Ours.
Man, I got nothing figured out, Phil. I don't think anybody knows what's going to happen. I do not want to give off that that image that that we're some sort of distributors of news here. That is not the case.
Hmm. Well, I'm kind of tired of watching. I mean, I like to watch TV, but all the I've seen is, you know, after about an hour, it's the same old thing for if you watch the same station over and over and over, it's the same old thing over and over again. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you got to turn it off. I mean, I was talking to one of my neighbors about that today, and we had the news on here for a while last night. And on the one hand, I think it's important to be informed and to know what's going on, but golly, man, if you watch Like that stuff is seriously depressing, man. I had to turn it off and do a little Netflix and read a little bit to just get away from it, Philly. I mean, what, you have no power over it. There's nothing. There's not much that the ordinary man can do, you know?
Yeah. I just went to the park a little while ago, and there's more people at the park than there usually is. And, of course, I kind of stay far away from people, just walking and stuff. But there's nobody just staying home, you know what I'm saying? Especially younger kids, they're getting out.
Yeah, it's, you know, I know it is a beautiful day to be at the park, man. Wouldn't we all love to be there? But, you know, if you're walking and, you know, you're keeping your social distance from everybody, like, I guess that's okay, you know, as long as you're being safe. Man, these folks are letting their children play on the playground, man. I mean, that's just, in my opinion, Phil, criminally negligent.
Well, I see where they dumped out, 30% of the people, the inmates in the jails, and that, what are they going to do, put 30% more and replace them with people, just common Americans, and just because they're defined an order? If they let hardened criminals out in the street, that don't make no damn sense.
I can't imagine that, you know, if they catch you out just joyriding during all this, they're going to take you to jail. That doesn't make any sense. Maybe they levy a stiff fine or something like that. But it's going to be interesting to see how they enforce this.
Well, I don't go anywhere but to work and maybe the store once a week and then to the fabulous, establishment that I always go to where I do my socializing. But that's it.
Well, what does it say about us as a country and a society that we're so skeptical of our leaders and our media and our institutions, that we're just not, by and large, we're just not going to believe what we have to do until we see literally tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of people dying, our medical systems completely overwhelmed. People aren't going to stay home until they see that.
Yeah.
That's,
well, maybe then you'll see some, Republicans and Democrats getting together and didn't do the right thing instead of just fighting.
I'm so sick
of America. They want to fight.
I'm so sick of the red state, blue state, right wing, left wing division. I mean, it's so unproductive. Not only unproductive, it's counterproductive, and a big reason, a contributing reason to why we are where we are.
So you're gonna have a collector on at 5?
Rick Barnes here, about 25 minutes, Phil.
Wow. Well, y'all hitting big time now. That's
got any questions?
Yeah, had him on since he first got hired, right? I mean, I think I remember hearing it.
Yeah, it's been 5 years. Do you have any questions you would like us to pose to the head coach of the Vols for you, Phil?
Ask him what his philosophy is about recruiting the state of Tennessee. Is it important to him or their staff, or – what was their recruiting philosophy? I'd like to know what, like to hear that.
It's a good question.
See you guys. Have a good one.
Thank you. Thank you, Phil. Trey, I'm going to put that on the list. All right. In-state, the importance of in-state recruiting.
Oh my gosh.
Well, I agree with you. Not to get into Phil and Bear's agenda. We all know what that is, but
I don't have a damn agenda. I'd like to know what the man's plan is for the state of Tennessee.
I think the interesting question is, okay, say you have a 4-star player in East Tennessee that you think can really help your program. You got a 5-star player in the state of Georgia who's marginally more gifted, a little bit more talented. Would you prioritize taking the kid who's a little bit closer to campus, or do you just go after the best player available? Because that's
you got the best player available.
Yeah.
If Tennessee had a shot at Banchero, okay, and not saying they don't, but then you had a 4-star guard here in town. But you got to really make a decision. You're going to go after Banchero, you're going to go after the 4-star guard here in the Knoxville area. Which one are you going to go after? You're going to try to please the people of East Tennessee, the state of Tennessee, to say, oh, we kept one in the state, when in basketball, let's be real, real honest with each other, it really doesn't matter if you block the borders and keep people in state in college basketball. You go after the best player.
To me, it's a matter of how good is that in-state prospect. If he's good, you know, if he's really good and you think you can win SEC championships with him, you think that you can beat the Kentuckys and Memphises and big-time blue bloods of the world with that player, you can coach him up and develop him to be just as good as the five stars that you're going to be going up against, I'm okay with it. Go, yeah. You know, Rick Barnes has proven that he can develop underrated talent to compete with the big boys. But, I mean, he's obviously he's got to be a good player, you know. Quick timeout.
I agree completely.
You're listening to The Drive. It's Fan Run Radio. Back with more. We'll wrap up hour number two of the show coming up next. One of the factors in Governor Lee's decision to issue this, I don't know what the correct term is, the stronger, the stay-at-home with teeth rule today was he saw some graphs, some data that showed that after road traffic had plunged last week when all these counties and cities started instituting their own rules, that over the course of the past 2 days, 48 hours or so, some of that traffic has started to ramp back up. And so,
yeah, I saw that.
I've seen more graphs, like curve graphs and just graphs, the past 3 weeks than I think I've seen in my previous 39 years on this planet combined.
No, absolutely. I'm sick of them.
It's weird. I am too. I'm sick of looking at graphs.
But did they say they also got like the data for like they were able to ping cell phones and see where the traffic was?
Really?
I don't know. That's exactly what they said happened. They were able to ping traffic and see that it picked up and the traffic is actually worse than it was before COVID-19.
That's kind of scary. I told you I was out yesterday around lunchtime and I was absolutely stunned at the number of people that were out in, like, you know, over off Cedar Bluff where I live, like all the fast food restaurants were, you know, had their normal, looks like they're doing a brisk business, and there was maybe a little bit less traffic than is usually out that time of day, but not by much. And I had to stop by an area grocery store on the way back to get a few things, and that place was packed, man. I mean, packed at about 12 noon yesterday.
So today, and now it makes sense. Like, it makes sense. But today I was downtown, and I was next to the Expo Center, and there were a lot of police around the Expo Center. I was like, this is kind of interesting. Why are all these police officers around the Expo Center? Like, I couldn't figure it out. Like, they were all, like, pointing at the Expo Center. It looked like they were, like, trying to figure out areas. But now it makes sense. The Expo Center is about to turn into a hospital. Like they're making that a secondary hospital. So I was wondering why I saw like 20 to. Well, the one right next to the Holiday Inn. Yeah.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah, is that the Expo Center or Convention Center? I'm sorry.
The Knoxville Convention Center. That'll be the most use the Convention Center has had in the 20 years it's been here since the Smokies left.
Yeah. Yeah. It will. mean, other than the annual, because I imagine the annual Home and Garden Show and Boat Show would be canceled. Pray for Houston.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what do you guys think? Do you think those numbers will go back down again? You think they'll be able to enforce this and keep us at home?
Hopefully.
Yeah.
It's not like we've done a lot of testing here in Tennessee.
You know, I mean, Phil said, you know, are they going to take people to jail over this? I can't imagine that they would, but, you know, maybe it's going to take writing a couple of $500 tickets around town, and, you know, word of mouth travels fast in this town. You know, maybe you write a couple of those things, and you know, I'm sure people will be disgruntled and mad about it, but hopefully some of these
public health issue.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully some of these folks that are just like, oh, you know, I think I'll go right and get a milkshake or something, you know, hopefully they'll think, you know what, maybe I can make that milkshake at home or just do without.
So it seems like
that was the stick that South Korea carried throughout all theirs, is the fines for being outside quarantine areas over there, and I think in Singapore and Hong Kong, it ain't $500. Yeah, you get caught out of quarantine on a positive test, you're talking about the equivalent of like $8,000 or $10,000 US.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Trey.
Yeah, I wanted to add this. We had Hobe Bronson on Twitter, Hobe, whatever.
Hobie.
He said, Trey, what you said was not accurate. The statement was that traffic was up considerably since March 23rd, 29th, not pre-Wuhan. So, yeah, I go back and look at WJHL statement from Bill Lee, and he said that he's been watching traffic patterns, quote, turned up about 4 or 5 days ago and started to rise. There was clearly a rise in movement back to levels that we hadn't had many days before. So that makes sense. I apologize for that part. He said, for the cell phone tracking, Russ, he said, Lee, there's a company that provides anonymous cell phone activity that can show the movement of cell phone activity, and those numbers influenced his decision.
Yeah, I'm sure it's anonymous, huh? Strictly anonymous. All right, coming up, we'll get you top five at five. And then Rick Barnes is going to join us here in about 10 minutes right here on Fan Run Radio to talk about everything that's going on around Tennessee basketball and how he is managing his program in the midst of this quarantine shutdown that is affecting not only Knoxville and the University of Tennessee, but other SEC programs and pretty much every college basketball program in America. Quick timeout. The drive continues. Fan Run Radio. Stay with us.